Yes, it's 5:59, calling the meeting of the Economic Development Commission to order. Do I have Chairman Brown?
Present.
Commissioner Elsa?
Oh, present. Present.
Commissioner Bringle?
Present.
Commissioner Chimplumkar? And Commissioner Murr? Commissioner Matt Carolyn and Commissioner Carr Preston are not present.
Yeah, good chair. Carr is removing, relocating Noak Park. So he's not going to be on the board or the commission anymore. It's too bad he was here for a very long time, and just want to put it on record how great he was, how much we relied on him. He always had insightful, fair, reasonable thoughts, and it's too bad. The other thing with that is I know we have some new people, and one of the ideas was is that we were going to do new people. Persons, kind of a round table. But with Matt not being here and Carr now jumping off, maybe we shelve it just for a little bit. We have other items to get to, anyways. But I would welcome our new commissioners. If there's ever any questions, or you're ever like, hey, we're moving kind of fast. I'm not sure how did we get to this point. What are we doing here? Let us know, and you can send me an email or. Jessica or Matt, and we could sort of describe. Sometimes it helps to have the background to what why we're doing things and whatnot. So with that was my public comment. Oh, I skipped. Was that going to be three?
That's okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
We should do an introduction. Well, let's do. We'll do that. Public comment. Anything? Let's, for the sake until we know each other and three facts about each other, we'll let's continue to do some introduction of commissioners. So can I go? I'll start so we get an idea. My name's Kyler Brown. I've been on this commission since 2016. I recently found out. And I have three boys. I grew up in the area between Oak Park and River Forest. I moved back here like in 2008. And been here ever since. And that's my story. We'll go this way.
Oh, all right, great. Scott Elza, I've been on this commission. This is the fourth meeting, so there you go. All right, and I have three kids as well, two boys, a girl. And I've lived in River Forest, I think 13, no, 16 years. My wife grew up here. That's about it. Cool.
I'm Rajendra Chiplunkar. We've lived in River Forest for 21 years now. Two kids, a daughter in OPRF, a son in the middle school here. I'm an attorney by training. That's what I do doing. That's my day job. And I've been on the commission. This is my second thing. So I've been on the commission maybe for 4 or 5 years.
Sounds right. Scott and I are bankers. We just don't publicly like to admit that.
Yes, I work at a bank.
We can do everyone. I don't know why I was skipping over non-commissioners.
You
Apologies.
did that last time.
I did. I
You
did.
did.
I
That's
did.
so rude.
It is rude. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, then we'll do that, then we'll go back to Russ.
All
Yeah.
right. I'm Liz Mayer. Lived in River Forest for about 6 years now, and we have a first and third grader at Lincoln.
Hello, I'm Tim Brangle. We have been here 21 years. I have four kids who have all gone through the system. Got one left in college, senior year. Excited about that. But I've been on the commission since it started. I don't know when that was again.
I think we said like 13 or 14.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. But it's been good. We've tried to do a lot. We'll talk about that. That'll come out of, we continue to try to push the economic development potential of River Forest. So, and I'm an architect, urban planner, and development consultant. All in one bag.
There it is. Jessica.
So I'm Jessica Spencer. I'm the staff liaison. I'm also the assistant village administrator. That's my day job. I worked here at the village now for about almost 2.5 years. And yes, I'm here to help direct traffic, answer questions. I work with economic development, the development review board, the zoning board of appeals, as well as support the village board in the administration department. So I oversee the building department and IT for the village as part of my other duties as assigned. So I do have an update about the facade improvement grant tonight. So that's something that an idea that came out of here that we've taken and been able to implement on the admin side. So very exciting.
Nice.
So yeah.
Luke.
Luke Sala. Been here about almost 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like do a little bit of do everything for the admin team. I am a staff liaison for the Historic Preservation Commission. I'm assuming that your husband is on it, Brian.
Yes.
Great guy. And I kind of just do a little bit of everything around Village Hall, but mainly under the admin team.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I'm Matt Walsh. I'm the village administrator. I've worked for the village for about 3.5 years now, and about 3 years in my current role as administrator. I grew up in Forest Park, so very familiar with the area. I have a little experience on the elected side. I was on the Park District Board over there for about 8 years. But now I currently live in Chicago around Humboldt Park, Ukrainian Village area. I have a kid on the way.
Congrats. February,
so, thank you.
When's the due date?
February 11th.
And ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Countdown's on.
Real. Real. No stopping it now.
Right.
Awesome. Congrats. A special guest too. We'll get to you. So that's good. The approval of minutes. Did everyone have a chance to review or have any questions? If not, can we get in a motion to approve?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second. All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Nice. Good job.
Thank you.
Number five. Well, we have another little bit of news too. We lost our chamber president, which is too bad. He was really great. So yeah, he, I mean, you can find out why, but he's no longer with the chamber, and he's pursuing his own interest in his marketing firm. So hopefully, our hope is that they find someone as capable as he is to take the reins over there. I know he was working with a lot of people. He had some good ideas. So he always said, it's too bad. I mean, it is what it is. But he was always pushing number five forward, which was something that we struggle with at times as a commission. So I would also put in there, I guess, continued discussion. We don't really have a development, I see, line item. So,
that's where Matt and I were going to kind of talk about development a little bit as, can I see your agenda?
Yeah.
Yeah, just under the continued discussion.
Okay.
We can plug that in. That's fine. So I was just going to share real quick. So I had someone reach out to me literally this week about the facade improvement program. It is an insurance on North Avenue. So to date, we've paid one, we've had one participant. It was Novik Orthodontist. They have a brick building with white trim and white gutters. So they had all the gutters replaced. And actually, this is really exciting. The Wednesday Journal is writing an article about this being our first grant awardee and how exciting this business is. So I want to say this was Commissioner Preston's idea, two meetings ago, was to contact the Wednesday Journal. So I was sad he wasn't going to be here to hear it, but I'm sure he'll be excited to read that article. So hopefully that'll get published in the next week or so.
Yeah, I talked with the journalist, and he said it's all filed, ready to go. He wasn't sure if it'd be print or online, but yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. It's cool. It's good. Hopefully it spurns some other people, and we have another person coming. So that's great.
Yep. So we've got an iron in the fire right now. Studio 19 just submitted permits for theirs. So they are already working through the process of the facade grant, but also working through the process for getting their, I think it's the awning replaced. So
they've been having a lot of trouble with that awning.
They have.
Actually, we met at the after hours party that was over here at the bank, and I told her about it, and she was super excited. I think anyone who would be coming in, I think hopefully the Wednesday Journal presses some information out there so more people are aware of it. And if we need to, we can, when we have more time in the commission, because when is the 1 year renewal for that? Because it was going to be an annual process, I believe. You might not know that off the top of your head, but.
Well, so the way that we're looking at it is it's a rolling application process. So there is no true deadline to it. We just have to, it's staff's responsibility to make sure that we have funds allocated each budget year.
Right.
So at this point, assuming all three of these groups have, you know, are awarded and they get 100% of the expenses reimbursed that are eligible, that would be $15,000 of the potential 50 that we budgeted. So three of the 10 projects we expected. So at this point, bring it. Like, let's talk about it.
Yeah, I think maybe what we can do is we can use the 1 year anniversary of us having the grant out there as a chance to kind of assess what worked, what didn't work, what do we need to change. You know, I think that's different than getting the word out there, but we can maybe discuss that too. So we could take some time at one of the meetings just to go over it. And by then, hopefully we have three funded deals. So we can also ask, I think it probably makes sense to talk with the grantees, you know, what worked, what didn't work, what was easy, what would you have changed? You know, they might all have the same issue. So that's great.
I think that works. We could probably start that conversation in like February, and then I'll be right on time for budget.
Perfect.
If we need to change something. So that works. And then Administrator Walsh.
In terms of Lake and Lathrop updates, the next status hearing for the foreclosure case is this Friday. The receiver will be providing a report. So there's no real action expected. We're planning to trust the court to advocate for in moving along quickly, and kind of thank the judge for setting a settlement conference, which has been set for December 15th. So there's hope that the parties can come together at that time to move the process along. But we're kind of remain at the mercy of the foreclosure process right now.
And forgive me, because I don't think we ever talked about this, but like, it's Wind Trusts who is continuing to pursue this, correct?
Correct. Beverly Bank is a subsidiary of Wind Trust, but yes. Right.
So their hope, I mean, as far as you know, I mean, I'm not asking you to speak for Wind Trust, but their hope is to what? Recoup the funds that were, you know, dispersed?
Correct.
I mean, that's the hope of any bank.
Yeah.
Once
it was non-recourse or not, though.
Well, I mean, it depends on what the guarantee is.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Right.
Like,
I don't know what the docs look like.
I mean, because the property's worth what it's worth. You know what I mean? Sell it and cut your loss. I mean, because it's just sort of annoying to me that I don't know what they're looking to get out of it.
I mean, unfortunately.
Dude, this is your world.
Unfortunately, I mean, the receiver, like the receivership, that person's job is to, you know, keep moving it along to keep getting paid. So that's that's the bad thing.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know without looking what the
doctor's they're just spending more money at this point.
That's what happens, and that's what they'll just keep dragging it. I don't want to see. No. Yeah.
So somebody's at bankruptcy or you
foreclosure.
Okay. Foreclosure. So
Lake and Lathrop. Yeah.
But it's Wind Trust that I'd be interested to know like what their game plan is, because if they were to drop this, then we could possibly move everything along a little bit. I'm just curious what their, I don't know,
part of the,
it'll end up going to sale at some point,
but why not just have it go to sale now and get it over with? There's actually a decent market for it.
Part of the complication is that the developer has a counterclaim against the bank. So, I think
he would release that.
Wasn't it? That was the last meeting, right? Didn't they? pull that?
The what you're thinking of, there was a they were considering appealing a decision that the village in favor.
Yeah. Okay.
So the counterclaim against the bank is still outstanding.
Got it.
So that's, I think, kind of slowing down any process to kind of free up the property.
I mean, I feel like there's always a counterclaim. I mean, I feel like Wintrust, I'm just curious, right?
Again, you just got to find out what Wintrust number is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's for Beverly Bank. But then it's in foreclosure proceedings, so it still has to be agreed upon by the court. Again,
I don't mean to get sucked on this rabbit hole that is Lathrop.
Yeah,
you could be here for hours, but you know people at Wintrust, like in that world at all? I'm just curious, like what their number is, because if there's a way.
Do I go on record and?
Yeah, we'll talk afterwards. No, I mean, I'm going right. I mean, I'd love to reach out and see if there's a way.
There's a couple people at Beverly Bank that we would know.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Probably know where to find one right now. To be honest with you. Okay. That's actually a good point. All right. So, any other things for.
That is all for right now.
Okay. Sorry. But
no,
it would be great if we could figure out a way to.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, right.
I'm sure.
I didn't realize it was Wintrust. I was dragging it.
I'm sure Beverly wants to get this done before the end of the year. So that would be nice.
Yeah.
I would think. But.
And is the developer fighting it?
I don't think so. I mean, there's a counterclaim, but like there's always, I mean, you know, you throw a counterclaim on everything, right? That it doesn't seem, it seems like Beverly is keeping it. Which costs them money. So I don't know.
It is costing money.
Yeah. And I don't know, like, what the market's not horrible right now for this type of development.
But again, it depends on, you know, see, this is where it depends on what the guarantee was.
Yeah.
And,
I know.
And what other collateral that was tied to.
I know.
So if there's other collateral, that could be a.
Yeah. That's a whole totally different ballgame. I totally get it. If it's non recourse, though. Yeah. Is that public knowledge?
Did we just make it?
No, I mean, I don't know if that's been shared. I'm not saying that
I don't know.
Like if it's recourse or not. I mean, that might have been shared in court documents.
That I'm not sure. But I will say, in terms of whether they're fighting it, the last hearing I attended, the parties agreed to participate in the settlement conference. So, I mean, we'll see how it goes in the lead up to December, hoping that a resolution can be found as the first attempt at having that conversation. Good. All the other things have just been kind of general proceedings for the foreclosure. So hopefully something will come loose here.
Yeah, it's a good point about the year end.
Yeah.
It is.
Want to get it off your books.
Yeah, for sure. It's probably a non-accrual and all that stuff anyways.
Oh, 100% it is.
Started
off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Still, you could make some.
You get a recovery.
Totally. Okay.
Anyway,
there. Any other number fives or 5/6? Okay. Any other business at all?
Well, so I had a question. So I know we talked last time, TIF money for Madison Street can only be used for Madison, right? And that there was about 2 million you said or something. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have a question. Mm-hmm. The property that was for sale, it was, I don't even know how to describe it. Like Puffs cigarettes is in there and all that.
Yeah.
That was for sale. Is there a reason why we didn't try to use the TIF money to purchase that property?
That property was actually purchased by the gentleman who owns Puffs. He purchased that strip.
No, it's fine. I don't know. Whoever buys it is fine, but it was marketed. It was for sale. And if there was.
So like why the village didn't buy it?
Yeah, no, it's good.
It's because then you have the development on this side and the development on this side. You get the developer to do both of them.
It's a good question. I'm sure that they were the people that we know the owners of the building, and he passed away.
Right.
They were looking to sell him. I'm sure the first thing they did is like it was for sale. I mean, it makes sense to sell it to the Puff person if they own it.
Long time.
But longtime tenant, but why we wouldn't be involved would be the village really does not want to be a landlord at all. So
I understand about not being a landlord, but if we have
why not
property,
secure it? I mean, in for development. Okay. I mean, I think that sort of complicates things a little bit, and like it's not that big of a piece, like, but it's, I mean, it's not a bad idea. It would be something that would be good to discuss in this. Like, if that was up again and you recognize it, I think that would be a good topic for conversation.
Yeah.
I think also the comprehensive plan probably considers that contributing already in a way, like it's already, even though we may, it's a strip center, but I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at what the comp plan had. And it's probably saying, okay, this is already contributing to the vitality of Madison Corridor. So anybody that takes it on, you know, again, I think the redevelopment costs that, I don't know. I mean, it's my hunch is it's probably not identified in the redevelopment or in the comprehensive plan to say, all right, this is a high priority site, like pizzas. Like we know we have buildings.
Yeah.
But I get it as an urban planner, of course. You know, you get both sides, you know, that might, or both, you know, that could help. I don't know. It's an interesting question. And you're
going to ask our.
Right. That the village does not want to be they're kind of the left is door, or unless it's part of a plan and like, okay, this is a priority site. So.
We probably could have asked JLL what their thoughts were and what the developers. They could have talked to some developers.
I thought about it after.
Yeah,
after
I know.
Left.
Well, where were you?
No, I think that it's a fair point. I think generally the focus has been because we've been holding on to the village-owned properties at Madison and Ashland for some time. That's been the focus and making sure that that's developed and any of the resources from the TIF district go into making that something that the village wants. That was why that opportunity, I suppose, was left. On the table, I think, and I think to Tim's point, in the commercial district being a commercial contributor, I think was part of the consideration too, rather than it being a blight or underused, which one could probably argue it is. We met with the buyer of the property, and he's got some exciting ideas for upgrading the center, so that there might be some opportunities to bring that conversation back to the EDC too. He wants to bring some new tenants and more activity there. So that was promising.
Does he know the side program?
Yes.
Yes.
And I think he might be able to qualify for more than one. I don't know how we split it up. Yeah.
I was going to ask, I live right behind there. Like, could each of those businesses qualify for the facade?
The way we designed it, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Each business would be the applicant technically.
Like
I think
staff
there's
could
eight
apply
units.
Mm-hmm. The doggy daycare, what a salon or whatever that is. Okay, that's cool.
And the landlord,
yeah.
There's improvements out front.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there could be a lot. The rest of the money could actually go there. You know?
Well, Madison has had zero applicants. I've got three on North Avenue only.
Yeah.
So there's $50,000 available just for Madison right now.
Well, that's really all that's there on Madison. Right. I feel like everything else is.
Bright Cleaners looks nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gunzo's is fine.
Yeah.
Whatever the Irish thing is.
The dentist, yeah.
Yeah. If Gunzo's did anything, it loses character.
Yeah.
Right.
What's going on with the building next to the lot there? That was on sale, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do we know if that's part of that's part of their plan, isn't it? Thought it was.
No, as of right now, it's still for sale. The asking price was or is still pretty high for that small of a lot. It was, I want to say, $875 or even higher. So there haven't been discussions with that owner.
Yeah.
No, there have not been discussions on that front.
Yeah, it seems.
There were a while ago.
Yeah.
But JLL cannot play a role in
facilitating. Sure. They could. They easily could. If they find a developer that wants to, you know, have it, they want to buy that too, they could. That's kind of what they're there for. It's because, you know, we shouldn't be doing that. They should be having those conversations. That's what I was thinking, like, for that piece on, you know, the Puffs piece, that would have been a good question to ask them. Like, hey, does this make sense? Would the buyer want this? Should we secure this now with the idea that it'd be part of a development. I mean, that's.
So I think at this point we'd like to move forward to number seven, if that's okay.
Yeah. Any other business? Good other business.
I'll think of stuff later.
I know you will.
We want to move to number seven.
Yeah. Let's get to seven.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Oh, yeah. I got to read a little. Motion to enter into executive session pursuant to. I think that's. 5 ILCS 120-2C6 to discuss the setting of a price for the sale or lease of property owned by the public body, and the Economic Development Commission will adjourn after executive session and will not return to open session. Okay. So
a motion and a second.
Motion, please.
Motion as stated.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you.